This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
The crypt doors have opened. The shadows are stirring. And I'm finally back. That's right. Big D is back. I'm back for season 4 of Guess What? You're Wrong. After a brief hiatus, we're back and we're diving headfirst into some of the best and definitely some of the worst horror flicks that you can find. And as always, we're going to spoil the hell out of any movie we discuss. So grab your flashlights, hide your snacks, and crack a jar. It's time to get spooky.
Enjoy the show!
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all of my movie reviews that I do here on Guess What? You're Wrong, we spoil the hell out of everything we talk about. So you have been warned.
Hello and welcome back to another stupendously blood-draining episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Now, as you can see, today we're covering Red Snow from 2021. I'm trying to, for as long as I can, I'm going to try and stick with this winter theme, Christmassy theme, probably up until January sometime because it's still technically winter. So we'll see how that turns out and what shows I got coming up or what movies, actually. Yeah, that's what it is. So Red Snow from 2021. First off, I'm a huge fan of indie horror. I love low budget movies. I think you can get some really good stories from a lot of these lower budget indie horror movies. Saying that, this movie, Red Snow, I couldn't, it's a dark, so it's, yeah, it's listed as a dark comedy, comedy horror thriller. Synopsis real quick. A struggling vampire romance novelist must defend herself against real life vampires during Christmas in Lake Tahoe. So, directed by Sean Nichols Lynch, written by Sean Nichols Lynch, starring Denise Cisneros, Nico Bellamy, Laura Kennan. Yeah, so Denise Cisneros plays the title character, the main character, Olivia Romo, the author. You know, she's written this novel about, I think it's called Touched by a Vampire or something like that. She is obsessed with vampires. Every shirt that she has on, it's vampires. She's got, you know, vampire teeth hanging off her Christmas tree. She has, every night she sits and reads this book about vampires, scary vampire stories or some shit like that. So she's really into vampires. We get that. So there's a lot of comedy in this movie. I got to say that there was quite a few times where I was finding myself laughing. Specifically, Denise Cisneros, her look, her facial expressions, what else has she been in? She been in anything else here? Red Snow, episode NCIS, Who Killed Santa? A Murderville murder mystery. Young and the Restless, it looks like. A few different things here. Her facial expressions as she's going through this, it's odd because I found myself drawn to her. But it's not in that kind of way where you're like, oh my gosh, she's hot. It was weird the way she was acting in this movie. Her facial expressions, her overall reactions to things, it put it over the top, I think. And it was a lot of times where I found myself laughing about this. And while I was watching the movie last night, I wasn't unaware that it was a dark comedy. I didn't know that that's what they were aiming for. It wasn't until I pulled up the IMDb just now that I see it's listed as a dark comedy. So that makes some sense. We have Nico Bellamy, who plays Luke, a vampire. Laura Kennan plays Jackie, another vampire. Vernon Wells, Julius King, he's the vampire hunter. Alan Silva plays Brock, and Edward Ewell plays Simon. There's a handful of other ones as well, but those are the main characters of the movie. So we start off, you know, Olivia Romo has sent off her manuscript to another, well, we don't know at this point. She goes to the mailbox, she pulls out, she's got some letters, and she puts the rest of the letter. And this is one thing I've never understood, too. Why do people get their mail and find something exciting and they find that they have to open it at the mailbox? Well, I take it back, but that's beside the point. She opens this letter. We find out that she's been denied by another publisher. Thanking her for her manuscript, but unfortunately, blah, 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 blah. So she, once again, is not being published. She goes inside, throws the letter into her drawer, and you see that she's actually got the drawer is filled with denial letters, right? So we see that she's trying to get this manuscript published, but she just can't. She's sitting at home reading her vampire stories book that she has, drinking some wine, and she hears this boom, something smacked into her door. She goes outside and there's this bat. It looks like a brown bat or some shit like that, laying in the snow, has blood on it, and she's like, oh shit. some reason she wants to save this bat. I don't know if I'd be too thrilled trying to save it. She goes inside, gets some rubber gloves. Now she does some research. You know, she picks up this bat, puts it in a big box, puts a little thimbleful of water or some shit in there so this bat's got some water. See, she's taking a Band-Aid because the bat has like a hole in it or something like that. So it's been injured. So she takes a Band-Aid and she puts it. They sure are putting a Band-Aid on the bat. All right, man. So it's she wants to save this thing. She puts it out in the garage, obviously, because you don't want strange bats in your house and shit like that. She puts it out in the garage and she's sitting there watching TV or reading a book or whatever she's doing. And she hears this noise, big noise. She goes out to the garage and there's some guy laying there naked. And the box is all destroyed. So we can assume at this point here that it's Luke. It's Luke, the vampire Luke, that he was the bat. Right. And by her taking care of him now, he's managed to transform back into his vampire shape. Cool. A lot of the story going on here now is going to be between Olivia and Luke. Right. Olivia's obsessed with the fact that there's a vampire. I actually am going to meet a vampire and get to talk to this vampire. This is awesome. Well, Luke needs blood. He has a hole in him, you know, where he was shot with something. We find out later that he was shot with, I think, an arrow that was dipped in holy water or something like that. So he needs blood. He needs blood to, you know, make himself better, whole. Denise, this whole first exchange, he's naked. He's standing there naked, right? Olivia turns out that she has a box or a basket full of her mother's clothes. Her mother has passed away. So she has a basket full of her mother's clothes, brings them down to Luke because Luke's standing there buck naked with his white eyes. And he's kind of stressed out as a vampire now because he's been shot, lost a lot of blood. He can't heal. So his eyes are completely white. Which, that's a cool touch. I like that. That was kind of cool. But he goes on and he puts on most of the show, he is wearing Olivia's mother's clothes. You know, skirts, dresses, jackets, sweaters. I mean, it's kind of funny when you see this and you see how their relationship starts to progress. I think mainly because he was willing to wear it. I don't know if that has something to do with her or not, but him getting dressed up in her mother's clothes, I think creates some kind of, in her mind, you know, he's okay kind of deal. But he stays locked in the garage. She locks him in while she goes inside, goes to bed, does whatever she does. And a lot of this is relationship building between those two. She's kind of fascinated with the fact that he's a vampire. She wants to know more. She sits down with him at first and it's like, what are the rules? And, you know, the rules of being a vampire, you know, crosses, garlic, daylight, that kind of stuff. But he needs blood. She's like, all right, I'll get you some blood. Now, not realizing, or we're not knowing, you're like, well, how's she going to get blood? You know? There's so many things about this. I mean, first off, she locks him in the garage. He's a vampire, so I don't know. Is that locked door really going to prevent him from coming into the house? I mean, he's a vampire, right? So But so he's a vampire. I don't know if that's going to actually keep him out or not, but it does. And what, I don't even remember what happens next now. Oh, she gets a visit by Vernon Wells, Julius King. I can't remember the name of the company or whatever he represents. Maybe it's in the trivia or something here. I don't know. But he's like, hey, have you seen the whole first introductions to this guy and their conversation is kind of odd. But we find out that he's a vampire hunter. You know, that's what he's doing. He's been out hunting these vampires. But they don't really go too much into him at that point. You know, he leaves and she asks, are you, you know, there was that whole conversation with them. It's a little odd, but she leaves, or he leaves. She goes out and gets blood. She does get blood. She goes to the butcher and gets, I guess, quarts and quarts and quarts of pig's blood. Brings these back. She puts them in like coffee mugs and warms them up in the microwave. Takes them out to the garage and lets him drink this pig's blood. At first, he's a little shocked. He's like, It's odd. I'll say it's odd, but after the first infusion of pig's blood, he falls asleep, wakes up, and he looks more normal. You know, his eyes are normal. They're no longer white and looks a little bit normal. So cool. Now it progresses where their relationship, he's asking, are you going to keep me locked up in the garage? And she's like, well, once I can get to trust you, blah, 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 blah. And in the meantime, we also see that the vampire hunter is making phone calls to somebody who's like, yeah, they're definitely here. He's here, blah, blah, blah. Because he found the containers that she had the blood in out in the garbage. We're going to probably fast forward in this a little bit here. I'm going to try and see. It's not really. There's at one point he comes in, the vampire hunter. What was his name again? Julius King. Severance Group, I think, is the group that he works for, Severance Group. There's a point where he comes in. She had opened the door for some odd reason, and he just barges in, grabs her by the neck. Tell me where the vampire's at, or I'm going to break your fucking neck. Type of deal. Well, she doesn't want to tell him because she's protecting Luke, right? But they end up in the garage where Luke is recuperating still, I guess, because that hole is still in his side. Now, as soon as Julia sees him, kind of pushes Olivia to the side and goes over and starts screwing with Luke. Takes this stick. I don't know what it was. Some kind of stick, and like jabs it in the hole that he's got in the side. And it's like, you're going to die. Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to kill you. Now, I forgot, up to this point, Luke had talked to Olivia and told her, yeah, the Severance Group's been trying to kill us. They go around to kill them. They've killed all the unicorns. You know, they killed all the candy elves or whatever it is. And she's like, candy elves? What? And he tells her, yeah, they're just as good as you can imagine, but you'll never meet one now because the Severance Group has killed them all. So you're like, what? There was other can't, I don't know. Okay. But that's fast forward back to
forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Julius King attacking Luke. Well, Olivia comes around behind him. There's all kinds of stuff that she on the shelf that she could use to grab. She grabs a snow shovel. I mean, there's a shovel. There is a rake, metal. She grabs a plastic snow shovel, whacks him in the head, knocks him out. I don't know how that happened with a snow shovel, but it did. Okay. And then she turns around, and immediately Luke is on top of him and just draining him, drinking his blood, making himself stronger. But also, up until this point here, we see that there's two other figures that keep showing up outside the house. At one point here, Olivia's looking out the front door because Luke heard something. And she doesn't see anything, but as she turns around, you see Laura Kennan, Jackie, staring at her through the window. So we don't really know. I'd say when I first saw this, the appearance of Julius King and the appearance of Brock and Jackie, I kind of thought that they were in cahoots. You know, I thought they were there together, but turns out they weren't. Jackie and Brock come in. They're like, "We want to know what happened to Julius. Julius is here. No, he's dead." Well, Jackie and Brock. Oh man. Earlier in the movie, there's this scene where Julius is saying, "These are vicious vampires. They're not nice, run-of-the-mill vampires or, you know, shimmering twilight vampires. These are vicious. They had ripped somebody's head off, something. They were playing hacky sack with his head." And now Luke is like denying this when Olivia asks him about it. "No, we've never done that. We don't kill. We drink blood enough to survive, but we don't kill." So Olivia is kind of growing attached to Luke, you know, because, well, in her mind, this is the kind of vampire that I've been wanting to meet my whole life. She had handed Luke her manuscript, her book. He read it and was giving her tips on how to change things, things that she could do to make it better. Evidently, in her book, it was the setting was in Romania in some old castle, and some Florentile heiress fell in love with this vampire, Vladimir, and it's Luke was like, "Nah, we don't live in old musty castles. We like to go to cool places, you know. We go to France and Paris and Lake Tahoe, and we do all this kind of cool stuff." So they're like, "Well, you gotta change the guy's name as well. Vladimir is no self-respecting vampire. It would go by the name Vladimir." Like, okay. So I think they changed it to like Ethan or some shit like that. Going through this, but they're getting their relationship going on, you know, and it comes Christmas Eve, and Olivia brings Luke a present. Up until this point, Luke is still wearing Olivia's mother's clothes. So she brings Luke a present. Now, at this point here, Julius is already dead. And Olivia had gone out and found Julius's vehicle, looked around in it, found some weapons, found changes of clothes, that kind of stuff. And so she has the idea, and I don't know how one thing led to another, because it does kind of skip around a little bit. But Christmas Eve, Olivia comes into the garage and gives Luke a present, right? The present is a sweater and a pair of slacks, you know, nice looking outfit for a preppy kind of guy, you know. She tells him, "I'm going to go out, you can change, and then come back into the house whenever you're ready, because I got another surprise for you." Well, he gets dressed. He comes out, she lets him pretty much roam free in the house, comes out, and she's sitting there with a glass of wine and a nice dress, and she has a big bowl of pig's blood, and she's like scooping it out, putting it into a wine glass for him. So they have a nice conversation, you know. Turns out they start watching the movie. What was the movie they were watching? I think it might have been Miracle. Oh, no, it's the Scrooge story, the old Scrooge story. So they're watching that. She falls asleep, and at one point he looks over and sees her neck, and he starts freaking out, you know, wide eyes. She wakes up at the end of the movie, and he's all like turning his head to the side so she doesn't see him. Well, she ends up, she's like, I'm going to bed. And Luke is like, hey, aren't you going to lock me in the garage? And Olivia says, nah, you can take the guest room if you want. Olivia goes to bed. She's out. This is the point here where Luke goes outside and Jackie and Brock are out there. And they start questioning him about Julius King. And he's like, he's dead in the garage. I'll show you. Come on in. But as soon as he opens the door and invites them in, instead of going to the garage to see Julius, Jackie takes off straight upstairs trying to go after Olivia and scares her, you know, trying to kill her, you know, trying to drink her blood. Meanwhile, Brock takes a hold of Luke and is like, hold him. You know, you ain't doing shit to these people, kind of thing. So Olivia runs downstairs, like, Luke, tell him to stop. And Luke's like, I can't tell him shit. Now, Jackie tells Olivia, look, I'll give you one chance. You got a 10-second head start. Now, she's in her nightgown, barefoot and everything like that. You take off running, and I'll give you a 10-second head start. And Luke's like, she'll freeze to death out there. Oh, boy. Olivia jumps in Julius King's, the Vampire Hunter's car, starts it up, takes off a little bit, you know, spends the night in the back of the car, you know, all this stuff. They end up, Jackie, Brock, and Luke go out on a killing spree. They find some guys walking down the road in the middle of winter drinking beer. Hey, I got a party for you, kind of deal. And now Jackie's a good-looking girl, so she could entice a few guys to follow her to her party, right? There's this scene where Brock takes one of the guy's heads, rips it off, and starts using his head as a hacky sack. The visual is kind of funny. It made me laugh, you know. And Luke is just like covering himself. These guys are not your romantic style vampires. They are the vampires that are going to rip your head off and going to kill you, and they're going to drain you. Right. So, and the way that this is pieced together, it's kind of odd because some scenes don't really lead into anything. You know, they're just like, here's this scene. Bam. Now the next day during the day, well, actually, Olivia calls a severance group because she finds a phone and she finds a business card, or Julius had given her a business card. She calls and talks to Simon. And it's like, I need help now. You know, I got vampires to kick me out of my house. They're living in my house. I need help now. And Simon's like, well, we can, you know, it being Christmas and then New Year's coming up, we can get somebody out there in June or July, whatever he said. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'll take it matters into my own hand. I'm going to go in there and get my house back. And Simon's like, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Denise waits until the next day because apparently daylight doesn't kill these vampires. It hurts a lot. They don't like crosses. But the rules with these vampires are a little bit different. Daylight doesn't kill them. It just hurts really bad. So she goes into her house during the daylight. And Brock is asleep on the couch, all, you know, hungover looking. She has a crossbow with arrows that are supposedly dipped in holy water. So she could shoot him right there while he's asleep. But she doesn't. She like wraps him up and drags him out, and he doesn't wake up. I don't know. That's a little odd. She drags him out into the middle of the forest during daylight. He wakes up and he starts screaming because he's in pain. It doesn't kill him. The daylight doesn't kill him. It's a lot of pain. She ends up shooting him with the crossbow, but misses the heart, I guess, or something. Anyway, at this point here, Jackie looks out the window and sees what's going on. Olivia ends up killing Brock. The battle with Olivia and Jackie turns out to be short-lived because, I believe Luke kills Jackie. I don't remember. That kind of blended together. I don't remember. But Olivia comes back into the house talking to Luke. Luke's got this butter, you know, he's like, oh baby, you know, it was all wrong. You know, we shouldn't have done this. And I told you they're gone. So it's just us now kind of deal. And Olivia's kind of dropping her guard a little bit until she sees the sweater that she bought him laying on the couch covered in blood. And she's like, is that the sweater I bought you? And he's like, she shoots him with an arrow. Now we flash to the next scene here. Olivia is at a bookstore doing a signing. So she got published. Her book is doing very well. She's doing a signing and this is where Simon shows up and is like, well, I saw what you did, blah, blah, blah. We could use somebody like you in the future. And Olivia's like, nah, I'm not having none of that. Next scene, Olivia is back at her house in the garage and she's talking to somebody, which we know at this point. She's talking to somebody. Have you gotten anything written? Have you gotten anything written? And we pan away and we see, it's Luke. She's got him all strapped up with garlic around his neck and wearing a rosary bead. And he's looking bad. He's just like, blood, blood. And apparently she had given him a pad of paper to write a new story. Because that's the story that she wrote was of this, you know, what happened. But on the pad of paper, all he wrote was blood, 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 blood. That's it. That's the movie. It's odd. I'll say that. I wouldn't say it is completely terrible movie because I was laughing a lot. And you can definitely see that it's a low budget indie type of movie. And it did. I was entertained at points. The story overall, I saw what they were going for, and Olivia did a good job. All in all, I don't know. You know, all the vampire and gore effects in this film were all practical effects. There wasn't a whole bunch. I mean, they had fangs in their eyes and the blood. And this was shot at, it was actually shot on location at Lake Tahoe. I'm over a 12-day period. And I guess the role of Olivia Roma was specifically written for Denise Cisneros. Wow. Real taxidermy bats were used in this film as they appeared more realistic on screen than synthetic props. I'm getting all this trivia from the IMDb. The film premiered at Panic Fest, a horror genre film festival in Kansas City, Missouri, on April 14th, 2021. Nico Bellamy auditioned for a role in Sean Nicol Lynch's first film, Prep School. Never heard of it. Okay, blah, blah, blah. The film went on the screen. Yeah, we don't care about that. Let's check out some specifics on this here. They released December 6, 2021 in the United Kingdom. Doesn't have a... It's 100 hour and 20 minutes, 80 minute runtime. It doesn't have a budget, though. Not too bad. Wasn't a terrible movie. I would say, if you're bored, I'm sure it's probably on Tubi. If you're bored, check it out. You'll get a kick out of a few parts. All in all, I'd give it a check it out. I don't like that. I'll have to redo that. So all in all, Red Snow from 2021. Is it a must-see? Nah, it's not a must-see. But it definitely is, if you got some time and you want to have a laugh or two, and you want to watch a vampire movie that's not your average vampire movie. There's definitely no sparkling vampires. There's also definitely no horror transforming vampires either. It's kind of an in-between mix. If you want to check it out, if you want to have a good time, and if you want to have a couple laughs, and check it out. I'm sure it's on Tubi. So, Red Snow from 2021. That's it. That's all I got for this episode of Guess What You're Wrong in Red Snow. Hopefully pretty soon here, I'll have another... I should have another episode coming out here within the next week as well of another movie that we're going to be watching. What the fuck is this? That's it. That's all I got for you in this episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Red Snow from 2021. Check it out. I'm sure it's on Tubi. Until next time, everybody out there, sleep sweet dreams, love, peace, and if it's going to rain, let it be purple, baby. And that's gonna do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and let me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bad shine. And until next time, don't forget. You're wrong.
Later, Tater.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night, and God bless America.